Hi, I'm Anne-Marie Nakala, Director of Family Ministries. It is that time of year again when we're looking towards starting Awana. It starts at the beginning of September, and we are in need of leaders. So the kids work on Bible memory, they get a Bible story, they play games, we do a lot of theme night. Our kids' ministry is booming, but we need a lot of committed helpers. And incidentally, they say one caring adult can make all the difference. So if you are looking for something impactful to do this year, I would urge you to consider doing kids ministry, specifically Awana, on Wednesday nights. Invest in the future of the church. Come be in Awana. Put on a mustache and come be a superhero in the life of somebody today.
Hello?
There we are. Well, good morning, my friends. It's good to see you this morning. Pastor Jake is on vacation. Pastor James is still on sabbatical. Pastor Joe, well, he's home with his new son, Wesley Joseph. So, and Lauren, of course. Lauren is there. So they welcomed Wesley Joseph this week. So we are excited for them. So they got time. So they have reached the bottom of the barrel, and here I am. So my name is Dave Hamilton. I've been part of this church for 40 years, and I have been involved in the youth ministry of this church for all of those 40 years as well. And so this year, I lost count, but it was, I don't know, it's in the lots of mission trips that I got to go on and was part of this one as well. And so this morning we're going to hear from the kids and the leaders about what God did in our lives and others' lives while we were in Idaho. But before that, I would like to welcome our worship team of my daughter, of course. I love my daughter. And my grandson is part of that. So there's three generations of us here. And the rest of the group from the youth mission.
Good morning. The rest of the group is Isaac Dorsey over here. I've got Ashley Gooding, my son Bjorn, Levi Wilson, Addie McLaughlin, and Anison Ballingy-Swope. And this is a wonderful group of...
And Layton.
And Layton. Layton, I forgot you were there. Sorry, Layton. And we have our wonderful percussionists back here also. We've got Michael and Jeremy who have joined us this morning. So, would you please stand with us as we worship?
Thank you.
just want you.
I want you to stay in this posture of worship, and if you'd close your eyes with me, think about what we just sang. This is a holy moment because the Spirit of God is here. Do you really just want God? Are we really singing what we mean? Is our worship costing us something? Is it truly a sacrifice of praise? Father God, we are so grateful that we have the freedom and the privilege to come before you openly in worship. Father, sometimes it is just so convenient for us, we lose sight of really what we are doing. That we are in the presence of God Almighty. And it's holy, because you are holy. Spirit, you are here among us, and I am asking, Spirit, that you would move in a way that only you can to stir our hearts to receive what it is that you have for us this morning. We thank you, Father God, for your love and for your Son. And it's because of his sacrifice for us that we can pray these things in his name. Amen. Okay, thank you again. So here's kind of what this morning is going to look like a little bit. We're going to share with you what happened, kind of what went on for the time we were on our mission trip. And there are different components of it, kind of in two phases, that we had the camp life that was discipleship and study and worship and prayer and getting to know each other. Then we had the second phase, which was our outreach time in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And so we're going to have different kids come up and share with you their experience is with that. And I've got three of these wonderful kids here. Some I've known for a little while, and some I am getting to know really well now, and I absolutely love it. If you don't know Connor here, I have come to really love this young man for the time I got to spend with him. So I'm going to have them introduce themselves and share with you something impactful about their trip and how many mission trips you've been on.
Hi, guys. My name is Connor Matheny. This is my first missions trip. And somebody thought it would be a good idea to give me a microphone and have me talk about it. So the first half we spent at a camp in Cascade, Idaho. And we just learned stuff and practiced for outreach there. What really struck me there was the love of God. I'd always known that God loved me, like, intellectually, but while I was there, it became a lot more real, I guess. I got better at, you know, praying with other people and sharing my story, and then we went to outreach in Coeur d'Alene, which was scary, talking to people, but what that taught me was really about the power of prayer. A lot of prayers were answered, and Annie will probably tell you more about that.
I'm Annie. I'm 16. This is my second missions trip. I went last year. I had a lot of experiences, so I think I'm going to switch it up this service and tell you a different experience that I told last service. So during camp, we had a guest speaker. Her name was Alyssa. And just like Papa Dave said last service, they were very open to spiritual gifts. And some of the things that she said weren't necessarily correlated to the Bible. And it was pretty interesting. So I got to grow in my spirit, and be able to like ask her for clarification. And I think I got her a little stuck sometimes. And so I was able to have her second guess her spiritual gifts per se and some of the experiences that she went through. And yeah, so it wasn't necessarily, you know, the missions trip wasn't just growing, like when it comes to learning, but growing in a lot of different other aspects that you wouldn't think you'd be growing in. So yeah, here you go, Coop.
All right, I am Cooper, and this is my third mission trip. And I'm going to share with you a little evangelizing a technique that I used on the trip that was very effectful. So I'm going to ask you guys some questions. Raise your hand if you like pineapple on pizza. All right. So, and then I said, I'm just going around asking people what their reviews are on a pineapple on pizza, you know, just to see what people think about it. And then I said, so, how is your relationship with the Jesus? And that caught him off guard. and we could go into, you know, sharing the gospel more, you know, and, like, you know, praying for them. And that just really impacted me because it worked. My technique that I tried, it worked, and it changed people's lives.
So Cooper's techniques are unique but effective, and he has no problem starting a conversation. Last year, he used plastic lizards, and it worked, and they are all over Salem, by the way. And so his ministry is called Evangelizards. It's unique. The leaders, we kind of talked, and we believe Cooper spoke to well over 100 people on this trip as boldness. It's, you know, and sometimes when you hear scripture, it says we need to become like a child. It's not immature or childish, but it's childlike. And not the fear to go and speak because of what someone may think, but just to go and speak. You think you'll do another trip if we have one next year? Do you feel bolder, more confident in sharing what you're going to do?
Definitely.
Yeah, I've heard them all share their faith stories and watched them. And you could be proud of these young people. So thank you, guys. I appreciate that. So as I said earlier, the trip was broken into two parts. There's camp life and outreach. So I'm going to have Leighton Gooding come up, and he's going to talk a little more in depth about what it was like at Warm Lake Camp, where we spent the first half of our trip. There you are.
So my name is Leighton. I'm one of the three seniors. This is my third missions trip, so kind of sad, but it's fine. And so going into this camp, our goal was to be trained, to learn, to be better equipped to go spread the gospel. So going in, we were all like prepared, we're getting ready, and we get there and we're like, it's a little loose. I mean, it was really fun. So they kind of let us hang out a little bit, play around, hang out with each other, but the focus was still on learning about the Lord and learning how to spread the gospel. There were many ways they did that. So they had different types of,
I know a lot of
dang, words. I know you do. Workshops, there you go, sorry. Workshop. They had a lot of workshops where an evangelism workshop would be where you learn how to evangelize to people, you learn how to pray for people, how to go up to people in public and actually talk to them. And then they had testimony workshops where you learn how to make a testimony, and then you learn how to share it, and then you go out and try to share it with strangers. So that was a fun experience. But for me, my favorite experience was, during one of our sermons, we had one of our leaders come up and demonstrate what Jesus did for us on the cross in a way where you probably wouldn't expect it. Our leaders handed out, cinnamon rolls. They handed out cinnamon rolls to us, and we either could take it or we didn't want it. But either way, one of our leaders had to do 7 push-ups per person. So we had about 40, 45 people in total, because we had 2 other youth groups. And so combining all those people, we had about 45 people where he had to do 7 push-ups per person. It took about an hour, hour and a half to finish all of that. And at the end of the day, he did over 360 push-ups, to the point where he couldn't even stand up. He couldn't even push himself up. But for me, that really showed just a little bit of what God did for us, what Jesus did for us on the cross. And some of us don't even accept it, like some of us didn't accept the cinnamon rolls. So for me, that was the experience that most impacted me, because it really showed what he went through in a way where it was only cinnamon rolls. But it was still really, really good. But overall, I had a very, very wonderful experience at the camp, and I learned a lot. Thank you.
So, Leighton, there was a specific moment in the very beginning of the camp where you were praying, and God answered that prayer in just a very special way. Can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. So, the moments leading before camp, I had been waiting for an acceptance into Whitworth University, and I had been really stressing about that, worrying about that. I think third or fourth day, I got a call from my mom, which we're not allowed to have phones on the trip. So Joe had to come and tell me that I had a call from my mom. I was kind of freaked out, because that means it was probably an emergency, but it wasn't. I had been accepted, and I had my dorm pretty much figured out. Everything was figured out for me. And that really lifted a heavy burden off my shoulders, because I had been worrying about that 4 months prior. And that really showed what God can do for you when you let Him take control of the situation, when you give the reins to Him and not try to figure it out by yourself.
Thank you. Thank you, Layton. So, not just Layton, but the rest of us, and he shared it with the YWAM staff there, got to see God in a real way in his life, meeting a practical, tangible need, partly because God knows that sometimes things weigh heavy on us, and he wants us to trust him, but then he allows us to have that burden lifted so we can focus more and minister effectively. And that allowed Layton to really get into what God wanted him to do there. It was really special. I've got three more of my amazing friends coming up, and they're going to share also what God did with them on the trip. So introduce yourself, how many mission trips, and then go from there.
Hello, everybody. My name is Asher Stevens, and this was my second missions trip. And yeah, so the thing that I took back from the missions trip was they called it the Passion Play, and it's where they reenacted Jesus dying on the cross. And that was like it was really cool, because like anybody can say, oh, we know Jesus died on the cross for us and all that, but like being able to see it and like all that is really deep for me. And like I really, and then after the play, like they had people go up and they're like, you guys can come up and rededicate your life if you want to. And we had somebody like say, like devote their life to the Lord that day, and we had people go up and all that, rededicating their life and all that. It was really cool.
My name is Sophia Nakla. This is my second missions trip, and what was really impactful for me was the cinnamon roll thing. I've grown up in the church my whole life, and you hear about what Jesus did for you over and over and over, and you kind of forget the power of it sometimes. And watching, at first it was kind of funny, you know, he has to do some push-ups, and then he has to do them again. But it took forever, and as we went on, it got harder and harder to watch, and I realized this is just a little portion of what Jesus went through for us. I realized that Jesus, he suffered and he died for every single one of you. And really the power of that had never hit me like that before. So my takeaway is that Jesus died for you because he loves you.
Hello, my name is Isaac Dorsey. This was my third missions trip. And I'm an outgoing senior, so it should have been my fourth, but the world shut down. So, but I try to forget about it. On this missions trip, there are plenty of great experiences and interactions on outreach. But I think the biggest takeaway, and I think for a lot of people too that went, not just me, the biggest takeaway wasn't any of those individual experiences per se, but just how we shaped ourselves and how we built our faith on the mission trip. It's as much as us building and us learning as it is us going on outreach. So a lot of dwelling over how my faith was, and it helped a lot during outreach too, because once I could fully put my faith in God, which it's other missions trip, it was more about, oh, I need to go talk to people, but it kind of comes easy when your main focus is, oh, I need to put my trust in the Lord, and then talking to people is pretty second nature, and it almost seems hypocritical going out and evangelizing if you don't have 100% faith in what you're saying, because then why would you even bother telling people about it if you weren't convinced yourself? So it was a lot of me kind of relearning and reteaching myself how to put my trust in God.
So I know you're going to Whitworth as well, correct? And during our time in Coeur d'Alene, Isaac and Layton had the opportunity with Joe to go over to Whitworth and visit a church nearby for them and go see it. So it was really an amazing opportunity how God orchestrated all of this, and his hand was so evident in our being there and the timing with Layton and with Isaac as well. For the other two, mission trip still in your future? You guys going to want to do this again?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah, they are. They keep me going. Thank you, guys. Thank you. So as I said, there's two phases. There was the camp life, and then we left Cascade and drove about 6 hours up to Coeur d'Alene, and that's where we stayed and did our outreach portion. So I'm going to ask Ashley to come up, and she's going to share a little bit more about what the outreach was and how it impacted her as well. And if you notice on her left hand, her right hand, she's got a little finger issue. Well, I think it's in the family, because at the camp time, Layton damaged his pinky and we had to splint it. And so it's genetics, I think. I'm not sure. So.
My name is Ashley Gooding. This is my second missions trip. Going into evangelism, I was really excited, because I felt more confident in myself that I can talk to people. Because last year I was kind of just shy and I didn't really want to do it and had to like drag me out a little bit. But this year, I wouldn't even tell my leader if I was going to go talk to somebody. I would just go. And they'd be like, where'd you go? And then I'd be over there talking to somebody and praying with them. But another thing I loved about evangelism was that we had different types of evangelisms for different people. So like for the athletic sporty kids, we'd have sports ministry, which I loved and I participated in. I'm kind of lucky I didn't break my hand playing volleyball, but we had music ministry for the musical people. We had arts and crafts for those who wanted to sit with little kids and talk. We had prayer walks, so we'd just walk around Coeur d'Alene just praying, and we'd have little groups of people go just wander the streets and ask people if they need prayer for anything. And even that was very moving and very effective. And when we were walking around Coeur d'Alene, just ask people if they need prayer, like Annie, Cooper, and Connor did, they encountered some missionaries who were also praying for Coeur d'Alene. And we encountered many other Christians, and even though some people who weren't Christian turned us away, or they just didn't want prayer for anything because they were good, but it was kind of discouraging at first, but then I realized that we can't let the people who turn us away affect how we pray for the people who do accept it, because we will always have people to pray for, and we can't let those bad times discourage us and make us keep our heads down. So I'm just really thankful that we pushed through and we all made a big difference in Coeur d'Alene. We all prayed for so many people. Almost everyone was really receptive. And I'm just so thankful that I got to go with my group that was there, because I had such a great time.
And are you going to do mission trips again? Something you want to do next year?
For my last mission trip, I'm not missing it next year.
Thank you, Ashley. So if you haven't been to Coeur d'Alene in a while, Coeur d'Alene is different than I remember 50 years ago when my family was there. It's huge. It's a resort town. It's a destination. It's growing. There were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in Coeur d'Alene. I mean, all the time. So we had a lot of opportunities. And, you know, as Ashley said, some people were not receptive, but a lot of people were receptive, and we got to pray with so many people, have amazing conversations. So you've heard from the kids, and so the leaders, we want to share a little bit about what was going on there. Not everything happened right at camp or at Coeur d'Alene that stretched us and grew us. Some of it happened on the road. And this is the first year ever in all my years of ministry I have not driven a vehicle on a trip. Due to my limitations with my hips right now, it's very difficult. So I had the privilege of riding with Jessica. She drives different than I do. Everybody does, but she's amazing. However, if you noticed, she is expecting a child. I also had four beautiful young ladies in the car with us. So we would cram a three-hour road trip into 4.5 hours. And you know why? At 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there, it's like, we just went a half hour ago. Do you got to go? No, I'm fine. I sat and waited. God taught me at that time. He said, Dave, I need you to hear this. You don't always get to have control. It's not about me. It surprised me. But I want you to understand grace and mercy, patience, thankfulness, understanding, and the female. I love Jessica very much. She's like one of my own. The girls were amazing. It was a really good trip, but God taught me in that. So I'm thankful for it, but next year I'm going to be all healed and I'm going to drive. So that's my goal, okay? So I'm going to give this to Jessica and she's going to share.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jessica Swope, and I have the privilege of being one of the leaders to this amazing group. And I just wanted to start this morning by telling you guys thank you so much for everything that you guys did as a church family to make this trip a success. You guys were vital in us being able to take the students that we were able to take with us to on this adventure, whether it be taking part in the fundraising, in the Adopt-A-Students pancake breakfast, to making these amazing essentials bags that we were able to take with us on the trip in case anyone forgot anything, down to praying for us. And we really appreciate that from the bottoms of our hearts. This trip, the YWAM staff made it and titled it Taste and See. And they did a really amazing job of not just having the students come into the camp and sit through class after class after class. They made it truly an immersive experience for everybody. One of the first things you learn as a kid is your five senses and what that means to you. But on this trip, we were able to take that knowledge, take those five senses, and apply it to how we can experience Jesus and how we can apply that to our lives. And it truly gave these kids a way to make it their own. And I think that they did a really phenomenal job with that, with a lot of the stuff that you've heard the kids talking about. Through a lot of they were Russians and treated us poorly and, gave us this amazing experience with showing us how Jesus suffered, just a tiny little glimpse of how he suffered to showing him die on the cross. And they challenged these kids with obstacles to overcome and things that they might be nervous about when we go out on the evangelism part of our trip. And you guys will be so happy to know that these kids met every single one of those challenges head on, and they conquered every single one of those fears. And I was so proud to watch these kids take the knowledge that they had gained from the first portion of our trip and really apply it to the second portion of our trip. When we went out into town, these kids were amazing. They were so eager to get out there and talk to people. And whether people accepted prayer or not, we were shown in so many different ways that we were exactly where we were supposed to be when we were supposed to be there. I personally met a gentleman who was walking his dog in the park and started a conversation with him. Found out through the conversation, I was asking him, you live here, you must come here all the time. And he said, no, this is my very first time ever being at this park. He said, my wife left me in November of last year. She was supposed to come home 3 days ago, and I haven't heard a word from her. He said I had to get out of my house. I couldn't deal with the stress and the loneliness anymore, and I just came out here to walk in the park, and I was able to pray with him about that situation, and he was extremely grateful that the entire group was there exactly where we were supposed to be, and so was he. And God orchestrated that in many ways on this trip between people who had been praying for missionaries literally 10 minutes before some of our students walked up and talked to them. It was truly an amazing trip, and I want to express again how grateful we are for every single one of you guys' parts in helping make this trip a success. And loving these students and caring for these students as much as you do, whether they were brought up here as children to be dedicated to the church or not, you guys are dedicated to them, and it really shows, and we're very grateful for that.
Amen.
Hi, I'm Sharon Jacott, and this trip has many wonderful aspects to it for me. One of the best parts for me is that I am part of three generations that went on this trip. My dad, Dave, and my oldest son, Bjorn, and myself, we all got to participate in this missions trip together, which not many people get to do, and that was pretty incredible. I grew up in this church, and for the last 10 years, my family, we have been a part of a different church, and about a year ago, we came back to First Baptist. And within that year, First Baptist went from just my parents being here to four generations with my grandma moving up here. And what a legacy to be able to carry on in the gospel and sharing his word. I am someone who's very comfortable talking to people I know about Christ. Not a problem. Talking to strangers is something that was outside of my comfort zone. And so going on this trip stretched me. Watching these students have the courage to step out of their comfort zones, step into faith, and go out and talk to hundreds of people. They talked to hundreds of people. It was incredible. That part of outreach was something else for me. Walking around in the heat, lots and lots of miles. It was hard, but it was so encouraging to watch these kids do it and encourage me to go and do that, not just in Coeur d'Alene, but back here in Shelton. And so since we've been back, that has been my goal and my outtake is wherever I am, whoever I see and God prompts me to talk to, I do, as uncomfortable as it may be. And that will only make my comfort grow the more I do it. You have heard from so many of these students parts of our trip that were impactful for them. And I wanted to speak a little bit more to what they refer to as the cinnamon roll experience. As fun as that sounded at the beginning, it was intense. It took over an hour. Whether they accepted the cinnamon roll or not, this young man did 7 push-ups for each person. I was one of the last people to be offered a cinnamon roll. And by that time, he could not hold himself up. His arms, his whole body shook. Our pastor, Joe, and 2 of our students were on their knees at his side, lifting him up and down with each push-up. It was so powerful and uncomfortable, and it really made these kids think, and it really made me think. And you got just a glimpse of what Christ did for us. We had an amazing time at camp with a passion play. We had one of our students that we were able to lead to Christ on this trip. We had in Coeur d'Alene a student who asked to be baptized, and we did, in the lake. In front of anybody that was there, we held a baptism. God moved in such powerful ways on this trip. You guys should be so proud of the students that this church is raising up. and the next generation that is to come and continue to share God's word. So thank you for your support. I'm happy to be back home at FBC. Yeah.
Thank you. So I don't have any problem talking. Never had. It's genetics. It was my dad. Got it from him, so that's not a problem. There are so many stories I could share about my experience and what God did. I have been on so many of these mission trips and things in the last 40 years. I've seen God do it continually. But that's not what I want to focus on. Now, if he was here and he knew I was going to do this, he wouldn't want me to, but Joe is not here, so I'm going to anyway, okay? I want to talk about Pastor Joe, okay? In a time that Pastor Joe has come and been here, to what I saw on the mission trip, he has grown exponentially. I mean, he has grown. I saw on this trip Pastor Joe, okay? The name Pastor Joe. He was the shepherd. He was the leader. I saw him, well, I saw his passion, his boldness, but his confidence in what he believed. Now, as one of our students shared, if you know YWAM, they can, some of people, depends on a lot of people come to them, lean more strongly to their using or understanding of spiritual gifts. That's okay. I'm still learning to understand them. They're still the body of Christ. They're still the bride, so we love them. But if we have a difference, how do we address it? What do we do? How do we talk to him? Scripture says, speak the truth in love. Okay, I tend to lean more on the truth side than the grace side, but Joe is strong in grace and truth. There was one time when they were doing one of the workshops, and they shared the gospel, and they were doing a great job, and then they were done, and both Joe and I just kind of went, you left a part out, almost. Just not quite there. It was too close to here on earth and left out the resurrection part and eternity and what that is. Not in a bad way, it just kind of wasn't complete. So Joe went to the leaders and said, hey, would you mind if all of the YWAM leaders came together and we had a round table and we could talk? And they said, sure. So all of the YWAM staff, and I probably 20 plus, came and they sat and we talked about what the complete gospel really was, including that part of the resurrection and Christ coming and eternity with him and what that looks like and how that is a very key focus when we share the gospel. We've got to include that component of it. And it was a good hour plus conversation with them. And all of them, without exception, went, huh, I never really heard it that way. Which surprised us, but they hadn't. But there's a couple of them, one young gal particularly named Madeline. She came up afterwards and she said, that changed my life. I will no longer share the way I've been sharing. I will share differently. Now, I see differently now. It was received in an amazing way. And there was a couple other incidences of just, let's call them theological, maybe doctrinal differences that we felt were important enough to speak on and share. And he did. And it was received. One with one of the staff that had been there 16 years, the name Steve, wonderful man, I've known him before. We talked with him at length. And I spent 2.5 hours with him, actually, and we talked, and he left after our conversation, said, I need to study that more. I'm not sure I fully believe what I believe. That's what God was doing. But here's what I want you to hear. I could not be prouder of Pastor Joe and what he did and how he did it with grace and boldness. If you go to Colossians, clothe yourself with humility and gentleness. He was fully robed in those things. He was living out that passage in Colossians about that. Pastor Joe is where he needs to be, when he needs to be, right now. I am clear, without a doubt, I know that Pastor Joe is called here with a purpose and anointed to be here. I couldn't be more proud of him. That's what really impacted me on this trip, was watching him rise up to the man of God that we want him to be and that he is. And I wanted to say that because he's humble and he's not going to say that himself. And I believe as a church, you need to know who your pastors are when they're not here. Now, he's not perfect, okay? He's not. He wears Crocs. So he's not perfect. Some of you know. But he's an amazing man. But here's what I want you to take away from this, what we've done here. These kids, these young people, spoke boldly about their faith, what they believe in. One of our young students spent much of her time reading the big book of apologetics on the trip. How many of you read a book on apologetics lately? Another I know was reading a great book that I've read as well called Theological Triage. What hills do we die on when it comes to theology and doctrine? These are your teenagers studying God's word at a level that I didn't even in Bible school. It's amazing. But they believe. So a question that many people have asked, and I'm going to ask you this question. Do you believe that what you believe is really what you believe? I mean, we think about it. You come to church. Okay. But do you believe it? Scripture says, always be prepared to give an account for the hope that is within you. Okay? We read that and we go, yeah, that's good. That's just not a principle that we are to live by in Scripture. That is what we will call a precept. A do. Not a suggestion, a do. The Greek phrasing of that is a command. To always be prepared is a command. You better be prepared to give an account for the hope that was in you. So, as much love as I can muster and grace, are you prepared? Could you, right now, clearly articulate in an understandable way the gospel? Could you ask someone if they like pineapple on their pizza? And then say, how's your relationship with Jesus Christ? There's different ways of doing that. Cooper has his. We taught these kids that one of the ways is just to find a common ground, something that is interest. You see someone on the street, they have a dog, and you like dogs, talk to them about their dog. If you don't like dogs, don't talk to them about their dog. But can you ask that? And here's the reason I'm asking. It is not just these young people that are commanded to do that. All of you are, regardless of your season in life. Some of us are more seasoned than others. Some of you are well-seasoned and have been around a while. That doesn't get you off the hook. There is no age limit or time frame on being prepared to share the hope that is within you. You are called to make disciples. You are called to discipleship. You don't get to choose. You are called to do that. And I don't know how. It could be at your home. It could be on the street. It could be at your work. I don't know where. But if you're not, then you need to do what David did in the psalm and said, "Search my heart, O God. See if there's any grievous way in me. Am I in right relationship with you? Am I prepared? Am I willing? Am I able to give an account for the hope that's within you?" And if you don't know enough about the hope that is within you, then please come and talk to me or the pastors or the elders or these kids right here. They'll help you understand the gospel. That's the hope within you. Because it's not just them. It's you. It's this church. Always be prepared is a precept. It is a command. So if you're not prepared, then we've got work to do. And that's okay. Because I still have a lot of work to do. And I'm learning a lot. So briefly, what happened to me on the trip is I got to sit with Noah McGee and a couple others, and we had a sign that said, "Ask me your hardest question about God." We sat on a park, on a bench right by the waterfront, and we had people come up and ask us questions about God. "What's God's name?" I said, "Which one do you want? God? That's one I use." But one was a wonderful man, very well educated, came up to me and said, "Why aren't you Catholic?" Well, I wasn't born into Catholicism, and none of my family are Catholic. And that's a big part of Catholicism. It's generational. Most people are born into it. So I asked him, "Well, tell me about your conversion to Catholicism, your faith walk. How did you come to this?" He didn't have one, because it's always been. And I was able to say, "Can I share with you how I came to a relationship with Jesus Christ?" Gives you an opportunity to share your faith. But I came away with that thinking, I need to know more about what he believes in and why, if I'm going to be effective in my conversation. So this last week, I've spent a great deal of time studying the doctrines of Catholicism and have learned a great deal. And where it's from and where it originated and how it came and what everything is. And he agreed after that he would read the Gospels without the lens of Catholicism. I would study the doctrines, and he would read the Gospels without the lens of Catholicism. Just read them and let the Spirit work. That is evangelism. I didn't stand up on a soapbox. None of these kids stood up on a soapbox. But we evangelized because they were prepared to give an account for the hope that was within them. So my question again, are you? So we've got an amazing slideshow that we'd like to present to you to give you a better understanding visually of the trip. And then after that, we have a real special treat that we want to share with you. So please watch the slideshow.
Child, I
Thank you. That was put together by one of the YWAM staff there. And if you haven't seen the movie, that comes from The Lion King. And who knew what it really meant? But God uses all things for his good. And this was just a fun thing that we got to learn, and they wanted to do this, so we're thankful. Thank you so much for listening to our hearts and hearing what God has done and what he's going to continue to do. But I want to also remind you that this is part of the missions focus that we are doing. Next Sunday, the 20th, is the missions fair, but also it's a Latino celebration, 20 años, Pastor? See, 20 years? 20 years, yeah, that's, I'm working on my Spanish, so a 20 years celebration for the Latino ministry in our church. Amazing work God is doing. Amazing work. So, missions fair next week. The week after that will be our bilingual service. So, no habla inglés? Come anyway. No habla español? Come anyway. Because it'll be both for you. So, again, thank you. You have a blessed day.